Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hi, everybody. I hope you like the show.
Hi, everybody. I love the show.
Good job. Say bye.
Bye.
They called him the Hammer. That was his nickname. He used to, you know, put a lot of seats, people in the seats, apparently, because as soon as they dropped the puck, he'd just grab somebody and start feeding them, you know. And he was drunk on the ice a lot, is the stories I hear. You know, he'd put a 40 down before the game. They'd go out, drop the puck, and he'd just go toe-to-toe with somebody, and apparently wasn't a very good fighter. He got beat a lot, but the crowd used to love it.
You know the difference between hockey and those other sports? You gotta be tough to be a hockey player.
I idolized Dominic Kashuk. I played goalie because of Dominic Kashuk. My life in hockey has been started because of Sabres hockey. I didn't need playoffs this year. I wanted it, but I didn't need it. But when you screw up for the fans as much as the team has over the last, like, 5 years and just don't hold yourself accountable, I'm sorry. I'll hang up and listen. I'm sorry.
Welcome to Two Goalies, One Mic, an in-depth look and behind-the-mask conversation about the greatest game on earth, where everything goes and nothing's off limits.
Now I'll tell you something about this guy.
This is only 3 minutes, eh?
Whammo!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back once again to episode 22 of Two Goalies, One Mic. I am excited to join our guest today, but before we get to that, I'm Johnny Cullen, always joined by my good friend and, let's be honest, folks, the star of the show, Dwayne Steinel. Dwayne, how the hell are you, brother?
Doing great, Cully. Got a lot of sun today. Hung out with some of the boys from Trainwreck. Talked a lot of shop. The NHL is back. You know, the return to play. We have some dates set, so that's pretty exciting. You know, we'll talk about that later on. But for sure, man, it's definitely been a good day from the hockey side of things. But I'm excited for the guest that we have on. Me and her have been corresponding back and forth a few weeks, past couple weeks. We have on none other.
Whoa. I thought, wow, I'm hurt. I had this whole beautiful intro lined up for her, and you're about to steal my thunder.
Oh, take it.
No,
it away,
I mean, hey. All right, Dwayne, but you know what? I'll kick it to you. Give me a second. The native of China Grove, North Carolina, a standout not only at Clarkson, but also at Plattsburgh, before moving on to the pro ranks, signed by the Buttes. And prior to the 2016 season. Dwayne, you have one more thing to add to that?
I mean, I want to steal your thunder, so.
Well, she holds two records. She had 54 shutouts and is the only player to try to take her skate off and try to stab somebody. But no, that's Happy Gilmore. I'm just kidding. Without further ado, Kelsey Newman, it is so, so awesome for us to have you on. I love that me and Dwayne already got some hostility going. But Kelsey, you are an ambassador to the game. You have been such an integral part of the Buttes since their conception, and you've been such a positive role models for girls across the hockey community, and especially my two daughters. So I can't thank you enough for what you've done. Pleasure to have you on. This is a big get for us. Ladies and gentlemen, Kelsey Newman. Kelsey, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Are you sure you're excited, Kelsey? Are you positive?
Yeah. Sure, I'm positive.
Dwayne's just trying to stir the pot because I thought we had it worked out where, you know, we're going to go back and forth on the intro. But you know what, Dwayne, if I fucked up, I'm sorry.
Listen, I mean, we won't get into details, but I think the pre-show conversation, you know, which we don't need to bring up, was we'll just say this. Cully doesn't want to bring it up. Cully definitely does not want to shed light on the pre-show conversations.
But us goalies, so we got to stay together. So right now we got another episode that's three goalies, one Mike, maybe two and a half if you count Dwayne as the schmelt he is.
Shots fired.
I know, shots fired, Dwayne. You know I love you. I'm just kidding. All I know is that right now you and Kelsey are both better than me.
I mean that's not, you know, far out there statement to say. So but let's get some pucks in deep here. Let's get right into it.
I had one first, if you don't mind.
Yeah, go right ahead, buddy.
So we always love to start out with how everything came to be. So you grew up just outside of North Carolina?
Yeah, I grew up actually all over the U.S., a few different states and different cities.
Military family, or your parents just move a lot for work?
Hockey family.
Love it. So
they moved for my brother and I.
So tell us a little bit about your brother. Are you older or younger?
I'm younger. He's 2 years older. He's now in the military and stationed out in Alaska, and he became an officer a few months ago.
Well, hey.
Or a captain, sorry. Captain in the military.
First of all, I have a tremendous amount of respect for not only those serving, but the families, because you could probably attest to this, Kelsey. It's not just the soldier serving. It's a family affair, right? And tip of the cap to your brother. I mean it. And, you know, we're still in the works of getting the two goalies, one Mike merch up there. But Dwayne, safe to say, we know where we're sending the first package to.
Oh, absolutely, buddy! I can't wait to get some merch going. I know we've already talked about it with the boys from Trainwreck. You know, trying to get some packages put together. So I'm excited. You know, we're not announcing any type of release, but that is in the works.
So Kelsey, I know that must have been tough. Because like we talk about it. It's not only tough making friends, but in new towns, but hockey, the political nightmare that it is for minor hockey and having to change towns for that. Me and Dwayne talked about it. Just staying in the same town can be a nightmare, but to have to acclimate yourself to the who's who to know and all that bullshit that goes with it, that must have made you, you know, props to you for getting through it, because that must have made you so mentally tough. Can you shed some light into what that was like? Because I've seen you play, and, you know, we played an FHL game together. You remember that?
Did we?
Oh, get the hell out of here. Oh, my God. Bobby, Betty Big Wheel over here. Get out of here.
I only got to play in a few of the FHL games. And so
well, it's safe to say why. Well, I understand why you'd forget this one, because, I mean, I might have won both, but not a big deal, but whatever. No, you played unreal. You played unreal. You were playing on the last place team. I was playing on the first place team. We should have shellacked you, because remember, I was with Patty Polino, Frankie Cefalu, and who else was it? Carson Gusevich, Hobie Baker finalist, Dylan McLaughlin from Canisius, remember him? So we were studs, and nothing against your team, good guys, but a lot of older guys. It's funny because we played you guys with their normal goalie, who was supposed to be real good, 3 weeks before. We beat them 20-2 and like 15-3. And the games against Kelsey were both two-goal games. You stood on your head. No, you stood on your fucking head. It was awesome.
Well, because I got to, like, sub for the FHL, I actually got to play in one of their, like, playoff games. The game that, like, Mittelstadt and Dahlin played in, I got to play against them. So, definitely had some fun with the FHL games.
No, I just remember, Dwayne, really quick, she battled. She made this left-to-right save that was phenomenal. And, hey, Kels, do you remember in the FHL, there's no defense, and then, all of a sudden, you'll get a 1-0, 2-0, right? And as soon as you're letting a goal, you hardly have any time to recover. You get another one coming down. I just remember we scored early right off the hop. And hey, no matter what, you always have empathy towards the other goalie, towards the end of the rink, even if that goalie had big leagued you prior to that game. No, but you stepped back and you made a couple of huge saves because that game could have gotten ugly. And I had a tremendous amount of respect for you because your team had started to give up and you didn't. Now, I still wanted to get the win, so I had to play well too. But no, you turned a lot of heads that night. You gained a ton of respect in my book. And that was just a fun game for me to see. Like, hey, you know the Dave Chappelle Prince basketball skit?
Oh, yeah, we all remember that. Yeah. And you're Kelsey?
Yeah.
And I remember at the end of it, I'm like, man, never judge a book by its cover. You know, this cat could ball. And that's how I felt about Kelsey. No, but that was something for me to remember about you. So,
well, it's funny, though, that you, like, bring that up because I remember when I went out for my first warm-ups, like, with that team because I subbed for that team a few times. And Gergesen was, like, the second. I was first on the ice. Gergesen was second. And I think his first shot at me, he just kind of did, like, a little bit of a harder saucer pass at me. And I was like, why are you just floating the puck at me? And then he finally, like, saw other guys taking harder shots, and he was like, oh, I can actually shoot it.
Isn't that a piss-off, though, when they think that they can't shoot? It's like, fuck you, buddy.
Yeah.
Try to shoot on me. See if you can score.
I usually just shoot the puck back at him.
I love it. She's now my new favorite girl goalie besides Shannon Slabatos. Do you know Shannon?
I don't know Shannon.
So, hey, Dwayne, I don't know if I ever told you this story. It's a little off topic, but during her run up to the, I was still playing in the OHL, so I thought I was way better than I was. And I'll be the first one to say that I had this hyper-inflated image of self-worth, and it was such a loser. Dwayne, is that refreshing for you to hear?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Kelsey, one thing you know about this show is we always hear a story about his days in the OHL. It's unavoidable. It's absolutely unavoidable. So
I tweeted her. I was playing for Windsor at the time, and she had said something like something about the Olympics. I'm like, hey, Shannon, big fan. We should make – she made a Rocky reference, and I said, well, we both know that Ivan Drago was because, you know, like them putting together two Russian super athletes, goalie babies, ? And she responded back to me, ended up following me. And I thought we had a future because her curls, oh, she's gorgeous. Her post.
She lives with her boyfriend in Ohio now. So.
Well, hey, hear me out. Her post play is incredible. I love the way she has calm feet coming, you know, across crease, and just her ability to track pucks through traffic. Just a lot of things I look for in a woman. No, but I'm a big fan of hers. You got to play with her for a year.
No, I didn't play that year.
Okay. But so, Dwayne, before we get into everything else, can you tell me a little bit about your minor hockey career?
Me?
Yeah.
Let's see. Before I went off to prep school, I played with the Madison Capitals AAA team, boys team, and Amanda Kessel was the other girl on my team. And then the way that we got to Wisconsin was my brother and I played AAA in Michigan first, and my team was the last place team. And we always played against the Capitals, and I guess the coaches liked what they saw, so we moved to Wisconsin, and I played there and then went to prep school. And then from prep school, I went to Clarkson, followed by Plattsburgh. Yeah.
Yeah, so after minor hockey, you played for the Madison Capitals. Then you had some, a 3-year stint there with the North American
Hockey Academy.
You did 3 stints there. Just get into detail with that because, you know, a lot of our listeners probably aren't very familiar with that. So, you know, I know, Collie played for the NTDP program, like, you know, correlation with that, but, you know, is that kind of like a similar type of program development wise? Is that, you know, were they?
Yeah. So the North American Hockey Academy, it used to be in Stowe, Vermont. They actually just moved this last year to Massachusetts. And I want to say that they're like right in the Boston area now, but Yeah, you basically, when I was there, they had what was called the full year program. So I could go from right after Labor Day until like the end of April, beginning like first week of May. And that was my schooling. Or the majority of the girls went just for the hockey season. There's two hockey teams. So 40 girls were all in the house together. Well, it was an old ski lodge in Vermont. But yeah, 40 girls, two hockey teams, one-on-one teaching. I mean, the most that we had in a class was like seven. And I think that was my senior year when they thought we were all going to take AP English. But yeah, you went to school during the day, then you skated in the afternoon, and then every Friday through Sunday, you were away for a tournament. We played an 80-plus game schedule.
So what exactly did you take from that? You know, that's an interesting experience, you know, in a ski lodge, you guys kind of like all roomed at, how big was the ski lodge? Like, were you guys all
It was like an old hotel. So it was like two people to a room, unless you're in one of the two big rooms at the end, then it was like four people in those rooms, just cause like they were like these huge suites. But we had always had two female coaches, one for each team that lived. There was like a little like upstairs area that was like a apartment, I guess. And that's where like the two female coaches lived. So there was always two adults on site at all times. They brought in a chef for us to cook meals. And like we had access to the kitchen if we wanted to cook ourselves and things like that. And then we had like a tennis court. We had a pool. We had a volleyball area. We had a huge like yard, so like we could do workouts and stuff at any time. There's a gym up the road that we typically used. Then our school was in a, it's gonna sound so bad, it was in like a trailer that they had out back, and the walls basically for like the classrooms were just cubicles. So you would be sitting there with your teacher and like say I wanted to take sign language, and they didn't have anyone that did sign language, but they found someone willing to teach it. So her and I basically learned sign language together. And then I also took Italian. They found a little old Italian man in Stowe, Vermont that was willing to teach us. And
pardon my povero Italiano. That's all I know.
I mean, it was a really, really cool experience and a very unique experience. And from my understanding, some of it's changed, obviously, since I was there. But it was definitely a situation where they treated you like more like a college athlete than you would get at a regular high school. So if you put into, you had to put into it what you wanted to get out of it.
Now, were you guys in Lake Placid?
No, we were in Stowe, Vermont.
Where's that?
Vermont.
Okay. Beautiful country up there. Hey, Dwayne, kick rocks, okay?
So, I
feel like I left for 30 seconds and you guys conspired against me.
No, we did not, no. Quick story, because I rarely get to tell a story from my playing career on this show. You know, I played 2 years of junior college, and we had a game up in Lake Placid. I remember we got in late, and we stayed at like a ski lodge type of hotel. It was like two stories, you know. And it just so happened that there was a senior skiing trip or snowboarding trip from Long Island there. The same time, we got in late, we're in the lobby, and it just so happened there was a group of girls from the class trip down the lobby with us, and like we're a bunch of 18-year-old, 19-year-old boys, you know,
aka degenerates, aka degenerates,
yeah, absolutely degenerates. And you know, this isn't a good story that sheds a good light on me, but we lock eyes with these girls a couple times, and they come up to us and talk to us, which is, you know, like whoa, they came up, they approached us. It's crazy. And you know, they end up, we exchanged phone numbers, and later that night me and two of my defense, and we conspired to sneak out of our rooms and go party with them. Well, little unbeknownst to us, like, we didn't think this was going to be like an all-night thing, because we had to be in our rooms at 10 o'clock, lights out at 10 o'clock. Our team trainer was, you know, would check in on us. And, you know, we snuck out, and it was like maybe on the other side of the ski lodge or whatever. We sneak in the room, and I will tell you this, like, and I'm not a heavy drinker. I'm really not. We stayed up all night with these kids, and they definitely drank us under the table, 1,000%. I wake up, you know, I don't actually, she didn't say, like, I didn't wake up, I didn't go to bed, and I'm supposed to start the next day. Like, I was hesitant to even go out. And our coach looks at me, we're in the locker, looks us in the eyes. He sees my eyes. He's like, Steinall, you ready? I'm like, yeah, oh yeah. He goes, sure, focus. I'm like, oh yeah, definitely. And he goes, looks at me, he looks at Bean, our trainer goes, was Steinall in his room at Lights Out? He goes, yep.
He was of course he was. Yeah, I can vouch on that.
Looks back at me, looks at Bean. Looks at our other goalie, Palumbo, was like, Palumbo, you're starting. I'm like, I had a good choice because that would have been bad.
Hey, like, that's a good teammate. That's a good teammate.
I mean, I'm not proud of that. You know, it was a fun story. We had a great time that night. You know, we made friends, but like, definitely not, you know, not a responsible move on my part. Definitely
not. Yeah, you were young.
Yeah, just go with you were young.
It happens.
Hey. It was just funny because just the back and forth, like his eye contact to me, over there,
oh.
Palumbo, you're starting.
Hey, can I make one comment?
All right.
One of my favorite starts to the episode so far because Kelsey brings this awesome dynamic. So, hey, thanks again for joining.
Of course.
And, Dwayne, it's pretty safe to say that we have a future reoccurring guest here.
Oh, I definitely come back.
For sure, for sure. He only wants you to come back because he's going to keep trying to run game on you. That's what's going to happen.
Hey, what game? What game is the question? Yeah. Okay. Buddy, I've seen better wheels on a canoe than myself. Okay. So let's just let that digest. No, one thing I've been impressed with Miss Newman is her gear wear. Now I am a gear fanatic. Sick gear, dude. She is top notch gear Hall of Fame. Now, Kelsey, can you do me a favor?
Yeah.
Google John Cullen Spitfires. Dwayne chirps my gear all the time. Tell me what you think of my setup.
Hey, wait, what am I Googling?
Dwayne hates this. John Cullen Windsor Spitfires. Dwayne, I will say though, your new all black setup took me 6 to midnight.
Yeah, man.
Did you find the trapper?
I have the trapper. I just need the blocker.
Dwayne, we talked about this early on. We haven't done our gear show. Yes, yes. What do you think?
Are those Bowers or?
Yeah, custom Bowers. I was the first one to get Bower to do the vintage graphic.
Okay.
Did you deal with Todd Brown at all? He's the pro rep for Bower for this area.
I'm buddies with Brown.
Isn't he awesome? Hey, so yeah, I got the coach
his camp a few years ago.
His daughter's a goalie. Did you know that?
Yeah, I coached her at corn camp. I'm good friends with them now.
No, I coached her at Vanderklok's camp because you know how Benny, so when Mitch was Nashville's goalie coach, Benny was his assistant, so he'd do Milwaukee, their AHL team, right? Benny Vanderklok was my goalie coach for the Ice Dogs, but when Mitch left Nashville, Benny got the head job there. So it's small world, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
So, hey, when we do our goalie gear episode, are you in?
Sure.
Now, hey, 1 out of 10, rate that gear.
Okay, wait. Well, so, first of all, okay.
Dwayne, you know which pads I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, the dark navy, blue, red, and white.
Okay. Right? Okay, so, wait, here. You got a Vaughn blocker.
No. Okay, so that's weird. I was using Jack Campbell's blocker that day because mine hadn't gotten in yet. No, that's not it. That's just not my blocker, not my helmet. The first one you had was better.
Yeah, but you couldn't, like, see the whole setup.
I know, but there's better ones.
He just wants you to swipe right so bad, Kelsey.
I
don't know how I'm feeling about the helmet, mainly because I can't really make out what's on the helmet.
All right, I'll give you a close-up of the helmet really quick.
Kind of like those Bowers.
I'll give you a quick rundown of my helmet. It was there was bricks in the background that were light blue white, okay? There was the old school Windsor W that was one of their first logos. And on top, here's the cool part of this helmet. On top, it was the old, it's a maple leaf, red maple leaf in a circle, and it said Windsor Spitfires, and it was their original logo, and here's the cool part, guys. After I put that on the helmet, Bob Bubner, owner of the club, said, Cully, that is awesome. No joke,
3 years later, you know how they did the outdoor game at Comerica Park against the Saginaw Spirit? They put that as their jerseys. I'm just saying.
It was all you.
No, and on the front it said Kid Cully, 33, and then on the other side it had the plane.
It's not a bad setup.
Thank you.
Like, it would be better if there was, like, a picture of, like, the whole setup, but it's not... I'm not terrible.
I was going to say...
I don't really know where your glove is going because the puck looks like it's going behind it.
No. Hey, wait. Hold that up. Hold that up to the screen. Hold that up to the screen.
Where's the puck?
That puck is glancing off of my shoulder going wide. Dwayne, back me up on that. There's no way that puck's going in.
I'm not saying it's going in. I was just wondering where...
That looks... Far top titty to me.
Guys, there's no... Hey, wait. Let's not forget that's Josh Anderson.
I wasn't saying it was going in. I was just saying that it, like...
Wait, can we take a peek?
Looks real low and covering the wrong area.
Let's just say this. The puck's already off.
Oh,
Jesse.
My God.
Guys, who's shooting on me? Josh Anderson?
Oh, my God.
Who's shooting on me? Josh Anderson? Is he in the show? Yeah, thought so. Eat two Skittles.
I mean... She's critiquing your stuff. Oh, I'm fucking loving
this. Hey, you know what you would love, Kelsey? I have a picture on Insta of Tyler Toffoli going 1T.
Am I supposed to rate this set, too?
No, that's when I just got traded. Please don't.
Okay.
Hey, you know as well as I do. You know as well as I do when you get traded and before you get your new set, it's like you feel like a goalie sin just walking.
Well, so my first year with the Buttes, I had someone pad wrap my pads. My Reeboks were red and white, not black and blue.
Did you know that pad wraps weren't, like, around when I played in the O?
Yeah, there was duct tape.
Dwayne, can you imagine in minor hockey pad wraps for us?
Yeah, you know, that would have been... I always had the right equipment.
I have younger goalies that obviously, like, they change teams more frequently. And they don't, instead of, like, spending the money on pad wrap, their parents actually use duct tape. And it looks just as good. And it's insane the things that they can do with this duct tape. Like,
you know,
I had my pads to match, like, the Hurricanes, they used duct tape to make the little Hurricane logo.
Hey, you know what my parents told me if I changed teams and it didn't match?
Wait, what am I looking at?
Tyler Toffoli and Jonathan Cullen, as always, not paying attention to what's going on.
I was going to say, why are you standing straight up?
Because I'm looking over.
Teeing up for a one time.
Hey, Chaos, look, okay? I'm a little guy. I have to stand straight up to see over the screen. You know what I mean? Because, hey, the golden rule, the golden rule on screens is you do not want to change your feet, right? Yes or no? So I wasn't going to move my feet. I'm looking around the screen because keep in mind the guy about to make the pass is Sean Monahan. So I'm looking around for the screen and I find it. He's in the pass is already on the way to Toffoli. So I slide head first and I can smell the burning rubber going zoom. And you go, hey,
my next question is
best part.
Head first.
Best part.
To quote the great Ty B. The first time we talked about this in the show, were you even looking?
Well, hey, Toffoli didn't have the puck yet, but yeah. The worst part is, guys, that was the teddy bear toss goal.
No. You know, he said, did you not? No, he goes, did you not see him there?
No, I knew he was there.
That was
here's the thing.
You gotta respect the pass.
No, but here's the thing. Monahan.
Dwayne, pull that picture back up. Because, hold on, I'm gonna. Hey, goalie coaching me is about to come out.
Before he pulls that picture up, Kelsey. Before he pulls that picture up, Monahan would do this thing where he'd do a fake slap pass into a pull short side sniz. You know what I'm talking about?
Okay, but, like, I get why you're standing straight up, but, like, no part of you is ready for a pass or a shot. And
how do you know that? My weight's on my left
foot. Your glove is hanging out by your hip.
Yeah, that's fine. I you're right. I'm not ready to make a save right then and there, but my weight's loaded up on my left foot to push across.
Ty B, anytime you want to chime in, buddy, I know you're dying.
Ty B, get in here. But Kelsey, honestly, I know that I'm going
to
have
anyone to be ready to save a puck in that position.
Thank you.
Exactly.
Hey, wait, Tybee.
Hockey goalie a couple times, and the first thing I know is if I can't get down to the ground quick, I'm fucked.
Tybee, Sean Monahan had the puck. So he was known.
Yeah, so you're probably gonna get smooth either way.
Yes, thank you.
Make him do something crazy to beat you, not just dish it off to someone for a wide open net one timer.
Thank you. All I'm trying to say is, listen, if I wasn't looking up and up and above, if I cheated a little bit to Toffoli, Monahan would have been short side Ched Mom on me.
I'm not gonna let myself go there. I'm 5'4", 5'5" on a good day. And I play men's league for fun, and those guys are way taller than me. Do you think I'm standing straight up trying to look over them? No.
What do you do
then?
You
have to get low a little bit, look around them.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Have you seen Dalton Smith's ass? He must work out. No, the guy they parked in front of me was a fighter. His ass was huge, and he would just get all up in my business, all right?
That's when you use the little C-cut trip.
Did you know I had like 32 PIMs that year? I was a little too active with my stick.
I didn't say use your stick. I said use your foot. Do a little C-cut.
Yeah, you know, slew footing was an automatic six gamer. Tybee, I'm happy that you chimed in. Tybee, I'm happy you chimed in because Tyler Monahan would do this thing where he, because everybody knew they were going to feed Toffoli. And Monahan would do this thing where, yeah, I'm going to pass it. And he'd pull through a screen, and I'd look like a bitch because it went short side elephant tits on me.
So give him a tiny little spot to shoot to, and if he hits it, he hits it. Be ready for so you don't give him the easy tap-in goal. Well, not tapping. He slapped the hell out of that.
Oh, no, wait. Like, so you're saying Toffoli? Time out, Tybee.
He unloaded his dick into that puck.
Tybee, you're saying that I should take away Toffoli?
Well, do something.
I was taking away Monahan, like, and I gave myself a chance on Toffoli.
Be prepared for a bunch of them.
See, here's the worst part, guys. Here's the worst part. You guys think I was unprepared for Toffoli. It's called a butt drop.
The context that you're giving me right now, Johnny, I would have thought the puck was in the other corner on the opposite side of the ice.
So it's called a butt drop. When you have backwards momentum, you're able to make a backside push, okay? And in order to get that, you either have to C-cut violently or you do what's called a butt drop that Mitch Korn teaches. You stand straight up like I was. You drop your butt. Without moving your feet, you move backwards. I know, Kelsey, you know what I'm talking about. You stand straight up.
So far out of the net, he still had at least 50% of the net to shoot at.
But here's the beauty of this, guys. Monahan didn't score. Toffoli, as much as I love to say he ripped, it went off the post and they buried on the rebound. Shane Prince picked it up. But, hey, guys, for the record, that's on YouTube. It was a Sportsnet special. No
Everyone
joke.
Go watch it. We can, and then so have people send in their critiques.
Guys, it's a hey.
Oh, is there
here's
audio?
The,
is there audio on that? Because if there is, it's getting clipped and put in here.
Tybee, it's unbelievable. I lose my mind at the end of the game because they score in overtime. My helmet comes off, so I lose my mind because I'm diving back into the play, and they call it a goal even though I got no bucket on. I go after the ref. This is the famous Peter Mrazek calling me a face monkey story. So Mrazek's on Ottawa, all right, and I fucking hate this guy. He'd always say something to me every single game. Okay. He'd be like, a face monkey. I'm like, so I finally had a backup goalie, Yaroslav Pavelka, that was Czech. I'm like, yo, Yaro, what the fuck's Mrazek been telling me all this year? He's like, before the game, he's like, oh, yeah, he say you face monkey. I'm like, I'm a face monkey? What the fuck? Guys, have you ever been called a face monkey? Like, that shit hurts. So, safe to say, me and Mrazek had bad blood. That game, it goes 3-3 into overtime. It's on Sportsnet, okay? So it goes into overtime. It was heated. In overtime, Shane Prince, a Rochester boy, was out there. Like I said, my helmet came off. Guys, hey, asking the goalies here. If your helmet comes off in overtime and the play is... Should it be whistle dead?
Yeah. Rules, but yeah.
So, okay, the play, the guy goes, To my blocker side, I poke check. He lands on top of me. My helmet's clearly off. Puck goes behind the net. The ref sees it. I yell right away, sir, sir, sir. The play's behind the net. I dive face first to my glove post to try to block it. And keep in mind, like, I blocked the first one, but they're jamming, all with no Bucky. And I'm continuously saying, sir, sir. They eventually bull rush it in. They call it a goal. The best part of this YouTube video is I absolutely go after the ref. I motherfucking, oh. Here's the absolute best part.
Can he tell us what the ruling would be?
So here's the best part. I got fined $1,000 for that. After the game, they interviewed me, and I said, oh, this is a doozy. We're going to put this in the episode, Dwayne. I said, I made a play there at the side of the net, and, my helmet came off, and, I thought this league was safety first. I didn't know it was the 1940s, and goalies were supposed to wear without helmets. And that was it. And I get a letter from David Branch saying you've been fined $1,000, and $1,000 well worth it. Actually, no, because I needed that money, but that's 2 weeks' paycheck. But I just thought it was great. I'll pull up the audio for that.
Shoot.
It was about 4 minutes left. Puck came around the net. I made a save there on the side, and then I thought I had it underneath me. The guy came on top of me. My helmet came off. I yelled right away to the ref. I tried to get back into play and go to the net without my helmet, but by that time it was too late. I didn't know that this was 1940s and goalies play without helmets. You know, I thought it was safety first in this league, so it's kind of embarrassing.
Perfect.
Guys, Dwayne, we have to include this because this was like Sportsnet before they acquired the rights, like Rogers acquired the rights to the NHL. They didn't have any NHL games. This was their big thing, guys. And oh, here's another cool tidbit. And this is before I realized that I wasn't going to the show. This was the summer after I went to the Sabres camp, right? I hadn't talked to anybody from the organization at all. I get a call from Jim Corsi. You guys remember Jim Corsi, the Sabres goalie coach?
I do.
So he calls me. He's like, hey, Cully, we're on a layover here in Dallas. We're going to be watching you and Cassian tonight because you know how the NHL Network sometimes airs the CHL games?
Yep.
So they're like, we're going to be watching Cassian and you tonight. I'm like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know, but like, you're nervous, right? So I play a pretty good game. Until I absolutely lose my fucking marbles at the end of the game. And I'm like, well, at least I showed some passion.
This is the big line for the 67th. Prince to Foley and Monahan. Up to the corner. Shane Prince to Tchaikovsky. His shot side of the net. Devlin, all he can handle with Monahan. John Monahan. Dumped right back in. Lively backboards. Kept in by Tchaikovsky. His shot deflected by Monahan. What a save by Cullen. Still loose. And Prince ties the game for the Ottawa 67.
Teddy Bear toss here in Ottawa.
That shot stopped by Cullen. The rebound sits there. Prince in. Prince. Cullen is down. Cullen is out. Closes in the crease. A goal for Ottawa. The referee signals it's in. The 67s went into overtime, and Cullen going after the referee.
Oh, he is going nuts.
A call would be made, and Cullen went berserk, threw his mask off, and right away.
Windsor has not left their bench. Need to review this. The call on the ice was a goal, so it will have to be conclusive.
Great ability here to listen in and what the video goal judge is saying and what referee Ryan Carroll is saying.
Okay. I'm going inconclusive.
Inconclusive. My call on the ice stands. We've got a good goal.
Okay.
Thanks, JJ.
Oh, there it is, and you can hear the crowd react. Ottawa took a while for the official celebration, but the 67s battled back from a 3-1 deficit to win it 4-3 in overtime. And Cullen, he's not done yet. He's having a discussion, or wanted to, with one of the referees. The linesman intercepted him. Now he's got some words for Ottawa.
He is one fiery player there playing.
And what a comeback for the Ottawa 67s.
But hey, last thing, I have a vendetta against Mrazek. Who the fuck calls somebody a face monkey?
Are we back on the face monkey thing?
Yes, I haven't let it go. This happened 12 years ago.
It was just like a bad translation.
No, it came from a Czech guy. He said it meant face monkey.
Well, maybe that's an insult there. I don't know.
It hurts. It hurts, Kels. It hurts. Well, hey, if I call you a face monkey, how are you going to feel?
I'd probably just laugh at you.
Well, fuck.
Holy, I found it.
Yes, fire it up, please.
I mean, if being called a face monkey is the worst thing that...
No, did you find the interview? Did you find the interview?
I don't know what the boys that I used to play against, like, why they weren't calling me that, but... That's, like, a big insult.
Ty, what...
The worst thing that was ever said to me on the ice was, with my long hair, he told me to get a haircut or cut your ponytail or whatever it was. And then I politely responded, well, your mother loves pulling on my ponytail. And that got...
Honestly, yeah. I think, like, the worst thing I've ever been called on the ice, and it wasn't even that bad, was, like, Bantams, one of the kids called me a bitch on the ice because I slashed him, and I said, thank you.
Good, yeah. Like, fucking feel
he stayed away. Him and I had a love-hate relationship. Like, we were friends off the ice, but on the ice, we definitely were.
There it is.
Guys, you don't think that the face monkey would have bothered you?
No.
I think we're done with the face monkey.
Dude, because that fucking hurt. Are you saying you're Team Mrazek?
I'm not Team Mrazek. I'm just saying that it's, Team Bad English.
Team Bad English.
I can't believe that you guys are all about this.
Well, because, like...
I feel bad,
like,
but
like,
time has passed.
Don't even have meaning.
Yeah, like, if someone calls you something and you don't even know what it means, how...
Face monkey, that shit hurts.
I've just been like, oh. Like, okay, like, learn English better, buddy. Like, I don't know.
Well,
like, I don't even know. Oh, yeah, I just watched the announcers just yell over and over how you went berserk.
Yes, yes, guys, you're going to love it. You're going to love it.
Like, how he went from, like, rating his pads, about my pads, to rating his pads, to face monkey, to whatever is happening right now. Wait, yeah, ask the ref. Ask the ref about... the helmet situation.
Oh, no, yeah, it was Greg, not the ref.
Hi, Greg.
In the video that Ty's gonna post, they go mic'd up in the box.
So, typical rules for USA Hockey: if the goalie's mask is taken off by an offending team's player, the play should be blown dead immediately. I don't know the rules in the OHL. I'm assuming it's the same. So, Cully, I'm probably gonna say you probably are in the right here. Now, was there a scoring chance immediately?
No, the puck went behind the goal line. Oh my God,
was
Ty!
Was the puck already in the net when you lost your mask?
Wait, yeah, John. When did your helmet come off?
I just sent
Dwayne the video. Yeah, what? I'm gonna play it right now. It's gotta be
before the
shot is taken.
Yeah.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah.
Hold on. Let me watch the video here first.
Guys, I get it. There's a little bit of animosity here. Dwayne hates me. Kelsey big leagued me. It's not a big deal. It's whatever. We're a team here.
Yeah. Well, we definitely went off the rails here.
This was a fun episode, though, guys.
This is from Patteraps to Cully getting... you know, improperly playing the Toffoli shot.
Guys, I'm defending myself. You brought that from the grave.
Kelsey, am I wrong or am I right? Head, shoulders, feet to the play. I mean,
all day, every day.
A power push out. I mean, I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Maybe not head first, diving head first as you claim you did to the shot.
Yeah, I mean,
guys,
sure,
I'm missing the joke here. What is going on?
This was entertaining for sure.
I had a lot of fun with both of you.
But you know, like before we wrap things up here, let's just get into your journey through college hockey. You went from, you know, Clarkson in 09-10 to Plattsburgh right after that, and then you eventually signed a practice squad contract with the Buffalo Buttes. Now, we want to talk about, a quick transition into that jump from, obviously, the NCAA Division III level to the pros, which is where you obviously, that's the end game, right? You want to get to the pros.
Right.
I'm sure that's what your dream was. That's what your goal was. Just to kind of touch on that and what it's been like for the last 3 years to play for the Buffalo Buttes organization.
Yeah, so, I mean, when I graduated from Plattsburgh, the league, there was really only the CWHL, and at the time you needed a recommendation from coach. So I didn't really think anything of it, and then I had already had my mind set on actually coming to Buffalo for grad school to become a teacher, and so I did that, came to Buffalo, started grad school, and then the league started, and I actually got to coach with Shelly Looney, who was like my one of my idols as a kid because she was on the 98 Olympic team that won gold. And she was also coaching the Buttes at the time. And I kind of was like, hey, Shell, like, if you ever need a goalie for practice, I know the Canadians are having a hard time with visa stuff. Like, just let me know and I'll come to practice. And so their first year of the league, I got to practice a handful of time with the team and got to know the girls, made some friends, and it was a lot of fun. And that's when I was kind of like, you know, I want to try to actually, like, make the team the following year. So I went to one of the tryouts, and Shelly wasn't coaching anymore. Rick Sealing had taken over, and he came up to me at the tryout and kind of pulled me aside and was like, hey, I saw you at our practices last year. Like, we already have our two goalies signed, but we need to sign a third. Like, would you want to be the third? And I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, anything I can do to grow the game and whatever it takes. And so that's how I got put on, like, the practice squad, as you would say. And that's also where I met my best friend, Amanda Levier, who now plays for Minnesota, and I guess we're best friends that are also rivals, but we started our little McLevin stuff with us and Bree, and then the following year, Bree retired, and it was Lev and I, and then they brought in another goalie, and the rest is kind of history from that aspect, but the road to the NWHL definitely, for me, wasn't the same as, like, a lot of other players in the league. Like, Even players, like, now are coming straight from college, whereas I had a few years off from college hockey and was playing with a team from North Carolina as well as, like, a men's league team just to keep playing hockey and just to have fun and everything. And I never thought that by doing that I would have the opportunity to play in the NWHL one day, let alone for all the time that I have. So it's been a great experience that I'm definitely going to treasure for the rest of my life.
Yeah, and you took the road less traveled, kind of, you know, obviously as you took time off, you know, and maybe, you know, developed your game a little bit more. And like you said, you grew up playing against with men and boys, like, you know, and like as Cully mentioned earlier, that obviously helped you develop, you know, be more mentally strong and ready for the pro level, which, you know, props to you. And obviously, you know, in, you know, 2016, 2017, you were the recipient of the NWHL Foundation Award. You know, what was it like to receive that, obviously? And that was, I believe, your first year pro, right?
Yeah, that was the year that I only dressed two games that year, and that was because both my goalie partners that I love to death went to bat for me and were like, hey, we want Kelsey to have the chance to dress, and one of them was like our last home game of the season. So I was fortunate to get to be dressed for two games. But the Foundation Award is typically given, voted on by the GM of the team and given to the player from each team that represents what the league is about and what growing the game is about. And so to get that award I didn't even know that I was going to get that award. And I'm, to be honest, I didn't know that it was an award until I got that award. But to have the GM that year really believe in me and like what I was doing outside of the Buttes, just going and coaching with all the different teams, mentoring younger girls. I tried to go to every event that I could, whether it was at a Dunkin' Donuts or a school. I tried to just be at everything that I could. And so I think that's what kind of like led to her picking me for that award. And it's definitely an honor. And I share that honor with a lot of other great Buttes and great teammates. So I'm excited for it.
That's awesome. I mean, that's absolutely unbelievable. And obviously, we can't wait to see what the future holds for you, and, you know, in the NWHL and going forward, you know, and
I'm so fucking proud of you, man.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, we're very proud that you're a representative of Buffalo.
We're proud that you're part of our family.
Absolutely, you're now part of the Two Goalies, One Mike family.
Do you accept?
I absolutely love you because you brought the absolute heat when it came to Jonathan Cullen.
I fucking love that, guys.
Yeah, guys, we got the gear down, cool down
coming your way soon. Me and Ty B, we shot some introductory tutorial video today in the backyard of none other than the Degenerate Al from Trainwreck Sports. We got that video coming at you hot very soon. Pretty much, long story short, it's a fundraiser, a charity event to raise money for civil rights awareness and, you know, raise money for the cause, get us back in our gear during this quarantine, and just, you know, have a good time, with friends and whoever you decide to challenge. And, we all know, obviously, more recently with Keandre Miller, racism kind of has left a black eye on the sport, and we want to show those who have been affected by it that this is a brotherhood, a sisterhood, we're one big family, and that we have your back. So, the Gear Down, Cool Down, a good way again to bring the boys and the girls together and, you know, support a good cause. So I know I've mentioned to you, Kelsey, I hope we can get you involved. And we have actually a couple other professionals from the NWHL involved. Megan Bozek, I believe, is going to participate. We got Connor Knapp, friend of the program, who's going to participate. And hopefully Kelsey Newman. We'll see.
Favorite thing to say.
With that being said, Kelsey, again, I love that, appreciate that you came out with us. I know we are corresponding back and forth, having to, we see the Pittsburgh hockey logo there, Kelly. we had the, corresponding back, we had some scheduling conflicts, but I'm glad we can finally get you on here. You are our very first female guest, a pro nonetheless. We really appreciate this. This was a lot of fun. I had a lot of fun. With that being said, this has been episode 22 of Two Goalies, One Mike. I am Dwayne Steinel for Johnny Cullen and Kelsey Newman.
I got one last thing. Three goalies, one Mike, one love, one dream. I lost it. But guys, what a show. What a show. No, but hey, Kels, you knocked it out of the ballpark, and I can't wait to team up.
Thanks.
All right, guys. Again, that was episode 22 of Two Goalies, One Mike. Be prepared. We're going to have a lot more coming from the Gear Down, Cool Down. And coming in hot next episode with hopefully a surprise guest and more on the NHL return to play. So stay safe. Love you all. Peace.
This podcast is brought to you by Better Biscuit. Better Biscuit is a hockey training tool designed to help you develop your game. These fiberglass reinforced pucks are developed to handle less than perfect surfaces, enabling hockey players of all ages to practice their skills in their driveway, basement, or schoolyard, honing their skills whenever and wherever possible. It comes in two different styles. The Better Biscuit Sniper helps players develop forehand, backhand, one-touch, saucer, drop passing, and shooting, ideal for perfecting those toe drags, puck control, and stick handling. The other option is the Better Biscuit Passer. The passer will help you develop softer hands and help you become more accurate with your passes and stick handling. Will also help you improve your puck possession confidence for any skill level. Be sure to check out Better Biscuit at betterbiscuit.net for all your hockey training needs. Thanks again for all your support, and be sure to check out Better Biscuit. Now back to the show.
This podcast is brought to you by Mitt's Barbershop, created and owned by a true friend of the program, Justin Gritsky. Mitts is a modern-day barbershop that provides a cool atmosphere featuring some of the greatest barbershops Buffalo has to offer. Come in, enjoy a free beer, play some video games, and get the best haircut in the area. When I asked Justin what sets Mitts apart from the evil chain super-duper cuts that we see at every intersection, his answer says it all. My vision was to create the only true barbershop in Cheektowaga. When customers walked in, I wanted them to get that feeling they got when they strolled into the barbershops of old, the golden era of what a barbershop meant, not just a place to get your hair cut. So if you're looking for the real deal, come on down to Mitts to get the real feel of what a true barbershop is and what it's supposed to be. The clear-cut top dog for all your haircutting needs, look no further than Mitts Barbershop. And when you mention that Two Goalies and One Mike sent you in, receive $5 off your haircut that day. Talk about customer service at its finest. Located at 3461 Genesee Street in Cheektowaga, it is located right next door to the 33 Speakeasy Bar and Grill. Their phone number is 868-1424, and their hours are Monday, 12 to 6, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 10 a.m. to 7 p.m. On Saturday, they're open from 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. and closed on Sundays because why not? Everybody deserves a little Sunday fun day. I want to finish this ad read off by reading a great testimonial from one of Mitt's loyal customers. Tired of the cookie cutter salons trying to get your attention? Also tired of those men-focused salons? Then when you leave, you feel like you just visited a Supercuts for men and the haircut isn't any better? Then Mitts is the place for you. Great cut, very professional, great atmosphere. A great place for men to get cut and trimmed up. I'm honestly a little sad I'm only visiting Buffalo because I need something like Mitts back home. You heard it here first. Come on down to Mitts for a great cut and an even better experience. We're happy to have them as a sponsor to the show, and we hope you join us in finding out what makes Mitts just so special. Thanks again to Justin and all the hard work him and his staff do. And without further ado, we'll kick it back to Two Goalies, One Mike.
They called him the Hammer. That was his nickname. He used to, you know, he used to put a lot of seats, people in the seats, apparently, because as soon as they dropped the puck, he'd just grab somebody and start feeding them, you know. And he was drunk on the ice a lot, is the stories I hear. You know, he'd put a 40 down before the game. They'd go out, drop the puck, and he'd just go toe-to-toe with somebody. And apparently he wasn't a very good fighter. He got beat a lot, but the crowd used to love it.
Hi, I'm Logan Anderson, host of the Say the Damn Score podcast. On my show, I deep dive into the sports broadcasting business by, you guessed it, talking to sportscasters. The show has featured big names like Bob Costas, Kenny Albert, and Vern Lundquist, as well as many up-and-coming broadcasters who you may not know yet, but you will know soon. Whether you're looking for professional development as a sportscaster, different career paths, or if you just want to be entertained by hearing some of the best storytellers in the world tell their own stories, this podcast is for you. You can subscribe to the podcast on all major podcast platforms, or you can visit our website, SayTheDamnScore.com.
I'm Jeff Woods, and I'm shining a light on music and the rock stars who make it.
He just was one of those people. He stood out.
He was a magic guy. He really was a magic guy. We all have force. He had the same amount of force as we all have.
This was before Led Zeppelin. Robert was full on. I mean, he was Led Zeppelin without the band behind him. He had the hair, the jeans, the whole thing, you know. And he was amazing.
The Records and Rockstars podcast, heard around the world and yours to hear wherever you get podcasts. All the episodes from JeffWoodsRadio.com.